Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Dorney's Vinyl. If you're new to this podcast, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is episode number 25 of season 6. We are in the second half of season 5. Sorry, season 6. And this is a weekly podcast. So, every odd-numbered podcast that I do, such as this, is an album review. And so 2 weeks ago, the album review that I did was The Moody Blues, Days of Future Past. That was a fun one. Good album. And every even-numbered podcast is what I call an EP, or an extra podcast. Half of my EP's extra podcasts are games, guest starring my wife. So a couple weeks ago, the game was Musical Scattergories. And next week's podcast is going to be a game, but I'll talk about next week's podcast at the end of this podcast. And every, so half of those EPs are games, half of the EPs are just little, like, tidbits of information that I do. So last week, I do a segment EP that I call On This Date, in which I look at the Billboard charts, so the Billboard Hot 100, the Billboard 200. I looked at it on February 12th, 1977, the top 10 albums and singles from that date. But this is an album review, and this is a special album review. So this is what I call the old school album. I had no idea what else to call it. But what I mean by that is I take an album that was released. I try to do after 2015. At least I've been trying, but yeah, 2015. Just like a newer, more recent album by an artist that was mainly popular in the 70s or 70s, 80s. Yeah. So this one, this old school album is Bonnie Tyler's The Best Is Yet to Come. I would say Bonnie Tyler's peak was the 80s with, Faster Than the Speed of Night and Secret Dreams and Forbidden Fire, Total Eclipse of the Heart. The Best Is Yet to Come. So I will go through the podcast, this album, how I do all my album podcasts. I'll talk about the artist, talk about the album, talk about the personnel, talk about the tracks, take a short little break, and then at the second half of the podcast is going to be me doing my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. So, let me just jump right into Bonnie Tyler's The Best Is Yet to Come. So, Bonnie Tyler was born Gaynor Hopkins on June 8th, 1951 in Sgwan, Neath, Wales. She is one of the most popular singers to come out of Wales. And she has been an active performer since 1969. I believe that puts her at, trying to do quick math, 55 years this year? Wow. She has sold over 20 million records worldwide, and she has been nominated for 3 Grammy Awards and 3 Brit Awards. She has released 18 studio albums and 83 singles. Of her albums, on the US Billboard 200, she has 2 top 40 albums and 1 top 10. And on the UK Albums Chart, 3 top 40s, 1 top 10, and 1 number 1. Of her singles, her 83 singles, on the US Hot 100, she has 3 top 40s, 2 top 10s, and 1 number 1. In the UK Singles Chart, 7 top 40s, 5 top 10s, and 1 number 1. So, I will now talk a little bit about the album. So, The Best Is Yet to Come is the 18th studio album released by Bonnie Tyler. So Tyler released her 17th studio album in 2019, and she followed that album up with a 23-date tour of Europe. Tyler then began recording songs for another album, and on March 4th, 2020, she told Gold Radio that she had completed the album and it would be released later in the month. However, the release date for the album had to be pushed back due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I believe that started like a week after March 4th. So then starting in April of 2020, Tyler began to post samples of the tracks and other videos on her Instagram page, and the track listing and cover art were released on December 10th, 2020, as well as 3 of the tracks to her YouTube page. The Best Is Yet to Come was released on February 26th, 2021. It was Tyler's first physical album to be released in the United States since 1996, but unfortunately the album was uncharting in both the US and the UK. Reviews of the album are mostly positive. So, Retro Pop rated it 4 out of 5 stars, writing, quote, "It's a bold statement from a singer 45 years into their career but with a return to pop rock combining welcome nostalgia with the star's weathered vocals, Bonnie's 18th album is her strongest since the late 80s, end quote. And Marcos Papadatos, that sounds like a Greek name, of Digital Journal rated it 5 out of 5 stars, writing, quote, "Overall, Bonnie Tyler is back with an amazing studio album. She proves that she is like fine wine, where her harking and heavenly voice only gets better with age and experience. It is so eclectic, which makes it difficult to select a personal favorite song," end quote. And then Nina Mende of Cryptic Rock also rated it 5 out of 5 stars, writing, quote, "Overall, the best is yet to come is chock full of synthesizers and rock guitars that bring back the spirit of 80s pop rock. Executed extremely well, above it all is striking vocal performance by Tyler that assures each track nestles itself deep under your skin," end quote. And then, alright, the personnel on the album. This one might take me a little bit. The solo albums always take a little bit because they have so many personnel. So Bonnie Tyler does lead vocals. David McKay does percussion on tracks 1, 2, 4, and 5, backing vocals on tracks 3, 5, and 9, strings on tracks 7 and 11, drum programming on tracks 3 and 8, bass programming on track 3, extra keys on track 4, keyboards on track 6, percussion effects on track 6, and piano on track 11. Richard Cottle plays keyboards on tracks 1 through 9, organ on tracks 10 and 11, saxophone on tracks 7 and 10, drum programming on track 7, and percussion effects on track 6. Steve Womack does backing vocals and guitars on tracks 5 and 9. Josh Renton does backing vocals on track 3, guitars on track 3. Daz Shields plays the drums on tracks 1, 2, and 5, and he does backing vocals on track 5. Neil Lockwood does backing vocals on tracks 2 and 8. Kevin Dunn does acoustic guitar on track 12, and the bass on tracks 11 and 12. Miriam Stockley does backing vocals on tracks 1, 4, 5, and 6, and then 9 through 12. Miriam Gray does backing vocals on tracks 2, 3, 7, and 8. Lawrence Cottle plays bass on tracks 1 through 10. Bob Jenkins does drums on tracks 4, 6, and 9 through 11. Jeff Whitehorn plays guitars on tracks 1, 2, 4 through 7, and 9 through 12. Ian Stewart Lynn plays piano on track 10. Ray Russell plays guitars on tracks 8 and 11. Leo Rojas plays the panpipes on track 4. John Parr does guitar on track 11. And the album was produced by David McKay. That was, like I said, the solo artists always have like the longest personnel. So then we move on into our track listing. So track 1 is The Best Is Yet to Come, which was written by Steve Womack, and it was released as the second single off of the album. Track 2 is Dreams Are Not Enough, was written by Neil Lockwood, and was released as the third single off of the album. Track 3 is Hungry Hearts, which was written by Josh Renton. Track 4 is Stuck to My Guns. It was written by Womack, and it features Ecuadorian musician Leo Rojas, who Tyler met at the Vatican's Concerto de Natale in December of 2019, where they had both been invited to perform in the presence of Pope Francis. Track 5 is When the Lights Go Down. It was written by Womack, and it was released as the first single off of the album. So about the song, Tyler said in an interview, quote, "Like most rock music fans, I absolutely love Bruce Springsteen and Rod Stewart records. When I heard the demo for When the Lights Go Down, which was written specially for me by Steve Womack, I felt it had the magic I hear in my favorite Bruce and Rod songs. When we got in the studio, everyone involved captured that fantastic, timeless rock feel that I love and just want to go on and on. The chorus is amazing. I am so happy with the track," end quote. Track 6 is Stronger Than a Man. It was written by Shelley Pikin, Desmond Child, and Ruslan Odnorolov. And it was originally recorded and shown by Deborah Cox on the show The Kate in 2019. Tyler explained that she recorded the song to mark International Women's Day, saying, quote, "There's a line in that song that stood out to me. It says, a woman's place is anywhere a woman wants to stand. It took me back to some times in my earlier career that I'd be the only girl on the whole festival bill," end quote. Track 7 is I'm Not in Love. It was written by Eric Stewart and Graham Goldman, It was originally released by 10cc in 1975, and their version peaked at number 2 in the US and number 1 in the UK. Track 8 is Somebody's Hero, which was written by Clemens Benek, and it was originally released by CB Green in 2015. Track 9 is Call Me Thunder, which was written by Womack. Track 10 is I'm Only Guilty of Loving You, which was written by Dave Williams and Mick Parker. I believe that the song was originally released by Dalton Reed in 1991, but it was also covered by Chick Willis and Tab Benoit. Track 11 is You're the One, which was written by Kevin Dunn and David McKay. And track 12 is Catch the Wind. It was written by Donovan, originally released by Donovan in 1965. His version peaked at number 23 in the US and number 4 in the UK. And Catch the Wind has been covered numerous times, a ton of times, over 30 times listed that I saw, including by artists Chet Atkins, Cher, Glenn Campbell, Buck Owens, Sammy Hagar, Joan Baez, and the Castiles. That concludes this informational section of today's podcast. I'm taking a short little break. When I come back, I'll give you guys my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. All right. I'm back after that short little intermission. So I'll just get into my song rankings, my song opinions, my album score. So essentially how I do this half of the podcast, I just listen to the album from start to finish. As I'm going through listening to the songs, I just write notes for them. And then at the end, I go through and I rank them from my least favorite song to my favorite song. So this one, we start at number 12. So my least favorite song is Catch the Wind. So I will say, I'm very, if you're new to the podcast, if you're familiar, you know this. But I'm very picky about my ending songs on albums. This one wasn't a horrible one. But I also feel like Bonnie Tyler, I feel like she could have done just better. The song is almost too acoustic compared to, like, the rest of the album. It has a good pace to it, but it just felt weird, and it just felt like it didn't fit. Although I'm wondering if it's just also because this album has been revving down for a few songs. I really like the simplicity of the acoustic guitar on this song, though, and it really meshed well with the electric guitar when the electric guitar came into this song. This is probably, I will say, the closest thing to a wow factor riff on the album. And it really isn't that close to a wow factor riff. I will say it was a good ending to a good album. It could have been better, but it was a good ending. My favorite lyrics, when the rain has hung the leaves with tears, I want you near to kill my fears, to help me leave all my blues behind. At number 11, I have I'm Only Guilty of Loving You. I like the throwback rock song that has, like, horns, saxophones in it. You know, it just has that, like, slow, methodical approach to it. I could tell that this was a cover song because it just sounded like it was written in, like, the 60s and 70s. I don't think it was, though. I think it was, like, a little bit of a later song, but it just had that feel to it. Like I said, I always like a song that has a saxophone on it, a rock song that has a rock pop song that has a saxophone on it. I would not have been mad, though, if this was the last song on the album. I really like the guitar solo on this song. This was a music that counts riff. What I mean by that is Eddie and the Cruisers 2. I say this every podcast, but I don't care. Eddie and the Cruisers 2. There's a scene where Eddie Wilson is teaching a young guy guitar, and he's, like, doing a wow factor riff, and he's like, you can dazzle an audience, but they won't remember it. It's the music that counts, not the hype. I think I took two different scenes and meshed them together, but that's okay. My favorite lyrics were, when the night closes in and the heartache begins, just remember I'm only guilty of loving you. At number 10, I have Stronger Than a Man. This just sounds, it just sounds like a song that you would hear, like, advocating for something, fighting for a cause, like, you know, feminism, power. I like how, for this one, Tyler Bonnie was pretty much just, like, speaking the lyrics. I don't really mind that the drums and percussion are the main sounds on this song, but I do like the other songs that have the guitars as the main instrument a little bit better. Although I will say, like, the lack of the other instruments on this song are giving it a bit of a more powerful and woman power sound. Good choice letting her say the last four words or sing the last four words with no backing track. And my favorite lyrics were, sometimes you climb so high, but no one sees your vision. They try to rip you down just because your drum beat's different. At number 9, I have Somebody's Hero. This was a very interesting choice to put a baseball play-by-play at the beginning of this song. It didn't mix whatsoever. It did not work like Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf. Baseball play-by-play, that was the best one. This one didn't really work. This song also sounded like it could be like the final song on an album. And it also sounds like it's going to have some type of hopeful message to it. I think it was the sound of like an acoustic guitar that I liked, although it's really hard because so many sounds are electronic. Like, this album was done in 2019, 2020, came out in 2021. The bridge for this one kind of sounds like it belongs on like a song for like a Disney movie when they have that scene of like they're working together to build something. It's a pretty good song lyrically. And then, like, did it end with a clip from like a popular speech? Like, what was that? And my favorite lyrics were, "Open up to let you in, stronger than you've ever been. Do understand you really can be your own hero." At number 8, I have Hungry Hearts. I liked the guitar sound at the beginning of this song. It has a very, like, present, fit in with today's music pop sound to it. Bonnie's vocals are really good. They really match the background vocals well on this song. I will say, if this is a guitar playing in the background, and I'm pretty sure it is because I can hear like just the sound of like the swiping on the strings, it has a riff that reminds me of Edge of 17. So far, every song has been like a bop-along song. This song had a very unexpected change of pace at the middle of the song. I really liked the riff that came after this part. My favorite lyrics were, "Tonight, I remember, do you remember, all the songs they would play on the radio. They were good days with the DJs, how they turned it up louder and louder, and nothing else mattered." At number 7, I have You're the One. Now, you know, I felt like she was starting to add a bit of a country twang to this album. I really could see her singing country with her vocals. This was a really good song for her to sing. I do like her upbeat stuff a little bit better, but this song has good lyrics, and even though it's mostly just like a verse and chorus repeated over and over, she was able to make the song her own. Another good Music That Counts guitar riff on this song. There was a very, very, very small just piano key. It was like one or two notes on one of the breaks that I almost didn't catch, but it just shows how much detail was put into this song and just the album as a whole. And I really like the false ending of this song that moves into a powerful instrumental explosion. My favorite lyrics were, "I've been waiting for the right time. I've been praying it would come. I've been looking for this moment to say that you're the one." At number 6, I have I'm Not in Love. I really liked the switch to a piano song. It also has just some really nice guitars in the background as well. I really liked Bonnie's voice on this song and the way that she did it. It was a little bit different from 10cc's version, but she made it her own. The instrumentals on this song are extremely strong, but her vocals are even better, and her rasp made the song sound sadder than it is. And then you mix that with the whining guitar sound, and it's just a great song. The saxophone solo on this song, it came out of nowhere, and it led into just a great peak in the song. My favorite lyrics were, "I'm not in love, so don't forget it. It's just a silly phrase I'm going through. And just because I call you up, don't get me wrong, don't think you've got it made." At number 5, I have Call Me Thunder. This song sounds exactly like track 4, and I haven't done track 4 yet. Track 4 is actually my number 4, but it sounds exactly like it. It had just like a powerful Disney princess feel to it. Great guitar riffs on this song as well. I feel like they should have put like some thunder sound effects into this song. Although it does sound like it has some like the thundering drums to it. They're simple, but they made me tap along to them. This song, I feel like it was just carefully put together, and it came together so well. All of the instruments came together very well on just the last chorus as well. My favorite lyrics were, "Like the night we came together on that fiery, starry night. You took my breath from me, and you rocked me to my bones. The fire that burns still burns deep down inside of me. I'm wilder than I'll ever be." At number 4, Stuck to My Guns. It's such an interesting sounding song. The beginning of it reminded me of a song that you would hear from like Mulan, the cartoon version of the song, even though it's been forever since I've even seen that movie. And I was like, maybe it's the gong, or maybe it was like the panpipes. The panpipes, speaking of the panpipes, were like an incredible part of the song. even though like they're mostly in the background of it, they were just like, they made the song sound so like eerie but relaxing. This is also a really solid song lyrically. Great guitar riff on this one, although I would have loved to hear like the guitar meshing with the panpipes. And then it also had a very unique guitar riff in the last verse. I didn't know how to describe it other than unique. My favorite lyrics were, "I never asked you for the whole world. I only took what I deserved. I maybe lost my heart somewhere. I maybe lost my nerve." At number three, I have "Dreams Are Not Enough." I liked how this song started off with the vocals before it moved into the instrumentals. There are times at the beginning of this song when the background vocalist just didn't seem to match Bonnie's vocals, though. This sounds like it could be on her 80s album Secret Dreams and Forbidden Fire. It kind of had that synthy and Steinman-y production to it, Jim Steinman production to it. This would have had a very solid guitar riff at the two-thirds mark of the song, and it was a mix between Wow Factor and Music That Counts riff. She sounds really, really good on the chorus for this song, Bonnie does. And my favorite lyrics were, "I can see a red light burning out on the sad horizon. I feel the fire as the night comes down. Can't you feel the fever in me? Can't you feel the urgency?" At number two, I have "When the Light Goes Down." When the lights go down. This one was a very nice riff at the beginning of the song. I like how it just got a chance to build up. Bonnie just has a really good vocal on this song. It slowed down just a bit from the first four songs, so she has time, or she just has the ability to show off a little bit more, and she succeeded with it. The background vocalists were doing a great job at matching Bonnie on this one as well. And it also had a really nice Music That Counts riff at the two-thirds mark. I like how on this song she was adding a bit more like runs to the choruses, like a little bit more of just kind of improv to it. I feel like she didn't do this as much on the other songs, and I really like this part of the song. My favorite lyrics were, "Remember back when we were young and free, back when we cradled our hopes and our dreams, every day we lived was for each other." And then, the number one song that I have for this album, the title track, "The Best Is Yet to Come." I really like the quick start to this song, and also the sound of the horns, the saxophone. Bonnie's raspy voice, like, her raspy voice is great, and it's classic, and it's not at her peak on this album, but it's nowhere near, like, just destroyed. Like, she still has a very strong voice. She started off the album with a really good song lyrically, and then, you know, it almost sounded like there was like a Bonnie Tyler, classic Bonnie Tyler scream in the background of this one. Either that or it was just a kind of like a riff. I wish that her vocals were just a little bit louder. You know, I feel like the instrumentals were drowning her out just a little bit, but overall, still great. And I also just wish like the song was longer. The only thing, like, I liked her longer songs, and each song on this album, I don't know if there was a song on this album that went over 4 minutes. Favorite lyrics for this one, "Whoa, the best is yet to come, we've got the bad days on the run, turn your head up to the sun, and the best is yet to come." So that is the conclusion of my song opinions, and those are my top 12 songs, well, my song rankings. I'm going to go into my album score now. So, what I do for my album score, first off, I rate it out of 10 based off of my opinion on its lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals. I call that the Dorney score. Lyrically, I gave this one an 8.5 out of 10, pointing to "The Best Is Yet to Come," "Stronger Than a Man," "Somebody's Hero." Vocally, I also gave this one an 8.5 out of 10. "Hungry Hearts," "When the Lights Go Down," and "I'm Not in Love" were songs that stuck out to me vocally. And instrumentally, I gave this song a 7.5 out of 10. "Dreams Are Not Enough," "Stuck to My Guns," "Call Me Thunder" were the ones that I pointed to on this one. So that is the Dorney score. Those three categories will get, those scores will get multiplied by 2 going into the total score. I then give it a score out of 10 based off of where it charted, where it peaked in the US and the UK. Unfortunately, it was uncharting in both the US and the UK. So it gets 0 points for each. I also give it a score out of 10 based off of its singles, charting singles. No charting singles, so another 0. And lastly, I give it a cover, a score for the album cover, and I gave this one an 8 out of 10. It's just kind of bonny, but I like the colors of it, and it just kind of had like this kind of like disco-y retro feel to it. I liked it. 8 out of 10. So total score for Bonnie Tyler's The Best Is Yet to Come is a 57 out of 100. Not an incredible score. Definitely dragged down by the U.S., by the charting positions, really. Everything else was really, really solid. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's episode. Next week, we got a game guest starring my wife. That is going to be a game of album cover password, in which she takes albums from my collection, looks at the covers, has to come up with 5 keywords, and I got to try to guess the album cover. I'm not very good at that game. It's hard. I got almost 400 albums in my collection. I don't remember what each cover looks like. And she picks some of the obscure albums, too. But that'll be next week. If you're not already, go follow me on Instagram at Dorney's Vinyl. We are in the midst of voting for season 7. We're voting for the albums for that. So make sure that you're following me on Instagram if you want to say on the albums that you'll get to hear in season 7. And if you're interested in expanding your record collection, I have used 33s and 45s for sale on my eBay store, which is also Dorney's Vinyl. No spaces, no punctuation. I don't know if capitalization matters, but it's not capitalized. I got about 400 and some listings, and I'm adding more each day, really. Yeah, I think that's it. So I'll talk to you guys all next week.